you would take out your notes. This is the second part of our Christmas series, the five A's of Christmas, and we're looking today at, last week we looked at the announcement, today we're looking at the angels, and they all kind of fit together, but we are looking at the words separately. So obviously the angels are a very important part of the Christmas story. We know them, we know about them, but they're very important, especially to the life of Jesus, and we're going to be looking at that today. They were quite active in the Old Testament, and often when an angel appeared, it was a pre-incarnate Christ. It was Jesus who actually appeared thousands of years before, and not each time. We'll talk about that a little bit in this message this morning. But there were other angels, but sometimes it was pre-incarnate Christ. So we just want to understand how important angels are. So let's just commit the time to the Lord. Father, we thank you for the service already, for the songs we sang. Again, thank you to Carlene's playing for us. And I just pray that you would just continue to help her eyes to heal. And we just commit that to you. We pray for our service and our fellowship to follow this afternoon, our luncheon. We just look forward to just spending time together with each other and growing together with you. In Jesus' name, amen. One thing about the angels is that they did their job very faithfully. When God sent them to do something, they went and did it. And we also know that the term fallen angels, the angels that chose to follow Satan, and read about them in Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 28, that they chose to follow Satan in his rebellion and left, again, the perfection of heaven and the worship of the Creator and the one who created them to follow Satan in his rebellion. And we think of the birth of Christ. People often, I think, respect angels more than they do the one that the angels came to worship. They talk more about angels, and they have more of a reverence for angels than they do the Christ child. And we see that, obviously, in our decorations. How many of you have an angel on your tree? Okay, we do. We have an angel on the top, and I'm not sure if Paige decorated this year. She decided she didn't want to put the glass ornaments on, but we had a bunch of glass angels that Cheryl had bought years ago, so I don't think Paige put those on. but we usually have angels hanging on our branches as well. But angels are some of the more prominent characters in the Christmas story. We see it here in songs. We've sung some songs this morning, and we'll sing with Hark the Herald Angels Sing at the end. But in our music, certainly in TV programs and movies, Christmas cards have them on them. People cut out cookies in the shape of angels, so they're very, very, very popular. But in Christmas movies, think of some of the ones that you've seen. I only saw part of this once. Was The Bishop's Wife, I think it was called, and it was Clark Gable or somebody, some old-time character, was an angel. And obviously the one that we watch every Christmas Eve, it was on last night on NBC, is A Wonderful Life, where we're introduced, remember, to Clarence, the bumbling AS2, he calls himself. He's Angel Second Class because he hasn't earned his wings yet. And it's a great story. It's one of my favorite Christmas movies to watch. But again, angels are very popular, and we want to talk about them this morning. We don't see angels anymore. I'm not saying they're not around, but we don't know them as angels. I believe that video we watched was a good caricature of an angel in Bible times, as I believe they did show their glory. We'll see that in the shepherds. I know Mary knew who she was talking to. Certainly Joseph, when we get to that, they knew that they were speaking to an angel, but we might have entertained, as the Bible says, entertained angels unaware, that we didn't know that they were. And I think if we did have an idea that we were talking to an angel, we would be a lot like the guy who was watching the bridge in It's a Wonderful Life. Do you remember that? They're in there, and Clarence had just saved George Bailey when he jumped into the icy water. Or the angel did, and George Bailey jumped in to save him, and they were in there drying off, and Clarence decides to reveal to George that he's an angel second class, and he's talked about whatever the pajamas or whatever he was wearing, and he said, "I was buried in them." And remember the guy who was watching that? He kind of looked big, and then when he said, "I'm an angel," he fell out of his chair and just ran out the door. That would be us. If we came in contact with an angel today, I think we would be pretty startled. And I believe that often happened with people who came in contact with an angel in the Bible times, that they were alarmed. And we're going to see the three appearances today. The angels all started off with the words, "Do not be afraid. Do not fear." But we think of Psalm, the little town of Bethlehem, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. There were a lot of fears. There were some startling reactions to when an angel did appear. And angels were messengers that were sent to speak for God's message, and they always started with "do not fear." So let's take a look at how these angels appear in the Christmas story. And you guys all know these. You know them as well as I do, maybe better. But first off is that we're specifically told that this is Gabriel who speaks to Mary. And Gabriel was sent to Mary in Galilee. And Matthew chapter 26, if you want to turn there, beginning in verse 26. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.' And he went on and told her that she was about to conceive a child that was going to be born of God." And the question, obviously, which we talked about last week when we said the announcement, remember I asked you last week when we talked about Isaiah's prediction, Micah's prediction, to put yourself back acting like you didn't know the story. And if you had just heard that a virgin is going to give birth to a son, we would have no idea. How's that going to happen? We just couldn't comprehend that. And I believe when Mary was told, "This is going to happen to you, you're going to be the virgin," she asked, "I don't know a man. How can this happen?" But Gabriel continued on and talked to her. And it says in verse 29, she was greatly troubled. I think that's probably an understatement. People estimate, and again, Bible scholars, so I obviously none of them were there, none of them know, but they go by the times of the day when women got married. She was anywhere from 13 to 17 years old. So imagine a 13-year-old being appeared to and told this and being confused. And the New International Version says she was confused and disturbed. I think that's a pretty good description of what she went through. I think all of us would have been afraid. All of us, if an angel, not just women, if you were told you're going to have God's son, you would be alarmed. But just having an angel show up would have been enough to disturb us and cause some anxiety and fear. And I want to tell you, I don't think Mary went through this announcement when this angel said, "You're going to have a son. It's going to be the Messiah." I don't think Mary's reaction was, "Oh, every Old Testament woman, every woman who was born of, in the Jewish heritage is excited about this. Oh, this is such a message. This is something I was looking forward to. I'm excited about this." I don't think that went through her mind at all. I don't think she thought about the promise that a virgin was going to conceive. I don't think she ever had an idea in her mind that it was going to be her. So she was naturally afraid. But we understand that God was calling Mary to do something completely out of the ordinary. Okay, this hadn't happened before. It hasn't happened since. It was going to completely change her life. It was going to completely alter all her plans. Now, if this was a modern story, would say, you know, she had her life planned out. She knew what she was going to go to college. She knew what she was going to major in. She knew, you know, she had her life planned out, that she was going to work a number of years and get some money, and then she would get married, have a kid. That's what the way women think today, and girls plan their lives out. I don't know what Mary thought. Probably wasn't thinking of college, but she was thinking, "I'm going to be married to Joseph, and we'll have some children down the road." But her plans and her, if she was going to have a career, all of that was changed. And the very presence of the angel was enough to frighten her. And it was shattering the call that she felt she had on her life, but she was going to be obedient to God's call on her life. And what a great picture that is for us. And there's going to be times, folks, when God calls us out of our comfort zone. God calls us to do something that's very unexpected. God calls us to do something that the world might say isn't popular, isn't smart. Following Christ is one of those things. It's not the popular choice of the world. But God calls us into obedience, and God calls us to share our faith. For the missionaries that we've prayed for, God's called them to go and to leave the world that they know. Much like what Mary is called to do. But he doesn't want us to be afraid either. I believe he would say to us, do not fear. You have found favor with me. Any child of God has found favor with God. Do you understand that? Do you realize that? If you are here today and you understand that Christ died for your sins and you've accepted him as your personal Savior, you have found favor with God. And I have up here, we should not worship Mary as the Catholics do. They pray to the Virgin Mary. We should not do that, but we should honor her for her obedience. She followed God and obeyed this angel in a way that is amazing to me. This young girl was willing to listen and say, I am willing to be used by you. The handmaid is yours. That's what she is basically saying. So Gabriel appears to Mary. An angel speaks to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. The second appearance by an angel, an unnamed angel, is the one who comes to Joseph. In Matthew chapter 1, if you want to turn back there, beginning in verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, what to say? Do not fear to take Mary as your wife. That which is conceived of her is in her is from the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on and says she's going to bear a son. We know that Joseph had heard Mary's explanation. It says she was already with child. She was engaged to Joseph to be married, but she was found to be with child. And she had to explain that to Joseph, okay? No virgin had ever had a child before. And she was going to have to explain to her husband, I'm that chosen virgin that Isaiah spoke about. Remember when he said, a virgin is going to conceive? Well, that's me, Joseph. So Joseph had heard her explanation. And he wasn't quite convinced that it was the truth. And he said he was weighing his options. It says he was going to put her away quietly. But he was wondering right now. He's weighing his options before this angel came. Should I go ahead and marry her and believe her? Should I marry her not believing her and just raise this child as my own? Should I divorce her publicly because this is a public sin? Obviously, everybody's going to know she's pregnant. Or should I just divorce her quietly and save her face? So what does the angel say first? The angel says, do not fear. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife. As Joseph, from the human standpoint, as he viewed his situation, it appeared hopeless, didn't it? Whatever he does, if he chooses to marry her, he's going to be living with a child that he doesn't believe is his. If he chooses to put her away, it's going to be bad for her. It did appear hopeless. He was going to lose his fiancée. He's going to lose his reputation. He was possibly going to lose his future. He didn't know. And for a period of time, he was struggling with that decision until he reached, I'm just going to put her away quietly and not make a big scene of her being unfaithful to me. So when this angel that we don't know his name appears to Joseph, Joseph is asked to do something that was going to require great faith. He was going to have to step out and believe that not only Mary was telling the truth, but this vision that he's having of this angel is truth too. And again, I believe as the angel tells him, he begins to think about Isaiah's prophecy, which we looked at last week. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. And God was assuring Joseph through this angel that Joseph was exactly where God wanted him to be. Joseph could have chosen to run. Joseph could have said, I'm not going to do this. That, you know, again, I'm not willing to give up my reputation. I don't care about Mary's reputation. If people want to believe that she's a virgin and still has a child, let them be crazy, but I'm going to get out of here. He didn't do that. He was faced with this choice, and Joseph may not like it. He may not completely understand it, but God wanted him to be encouraged and not frustrated or troubled. For us today, there may be times when life doesn't seem like it's fair, does it? We look around us, we see, seems like evil is always winning, seems that right is always defeated, and we just look at injustice and feel it's just overwhelming sometimes. In our prayer time this morning, Russ and I and Mark were praying, and Mark just prayed for our country. He said it just seems that, you know, things are a mess, and it's because people don't have a relationship with Christ, don't have a relationship with God. And there may be times when people need encouragement, and that's what God's calling us to do. We need to remember that God is in control. And perhaps this morning, you just need to hear that. God is in control of my circumstances. God is in control of everything that I'm going through. And God understood that Joseph needed that encouragement at that time. There was a construction crew that was clearing a lot of land for a new road that was going through a very rural area. And as they knocking down the trees, the superintendent noticed that there was a tree with a large nest in it. And he asked the people with the bucket to raise him up. And he looked in, and it was this, all, a bunch of newborn birds. I think they said it was 8 or 9 of them in there. And he kind of looked down at it. He told the guys, put him back down. He marked the tree, said this was not to be cut down. So they cleared the whole area, and he came back a couple weeks later and again asked the bucket truck to lift him up, and he's looked in, the nest was empty. And they let him back down again. He said, okay, let's clear this one out. And when they fell the tree came down. This is supposedly a true story when I read it. The nest came down, it scattered apart, and a part of a scrap from a Sunday school pamphlet was made by the birds and put in the nest. And as he picked it up, it said, fear not, he careth for you. And the superintendent just was realizing that what it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feeds them. He says, are you not of more value than they are? Joseph needed that reminder that day when the angel appeared that, yes, he was where God wanted them to be. He was where God could watch him, and he was exactly where God needed him to be. I'm sure Joseph continued to question that. I'm sure for the next couple months until they got married, Joseph questioned that. There was a fire in a family's home, and each parent grabbed a few things, and the father grabbed his young daughter by the hand and led her out of the house. And as he turned to talk to the fireman, she broke loose and ran into the house, and the house was being consumed, and he yelled to her, and he tried to follow her in, but the flames kind of kept him back, and he looked up, and she was looking out her bedroom window, and she said, Daddy, I needed to come up and get my baby doll, and flames were all behind her, and he said, Dear, jump. She said, Daddy, I can't see you, and he said, That's okay, I can see you, and she jumped, and he caught her, and that's, again, what Joseph needed here. Joseph couldn't see God. And if an angel appeared to me and told me that message, I'm not sure I would believe it either. But God is saying, you can't see me in this, but I can see you. Just jump. Just trust me. And I want you to know, our Heavenly Father sees us all the time. He knows our fears. He knows when we're lonely. He knows when we feel hopeless. He knows when we're afraid. And he's just saying, jump into my loving arms. I'm not going to desert you. I'm here. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13 tells us, and I put up here, we shouldn't worship Mary, but we should honor her for her obedience. We should respect Joseph for his obedience as well. And then number three, angels speak to the shepherds. And again, this is in Luke chapter 2, and we know this story very well. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. I'm not going to read them all, but it says, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. You would be too. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign for you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Again, we don't know the name of this angel. Could have been Gabriel, but it was one angel did the speaking, and then other angels came, a multitude of angels, and they said, "Fear not. Don't be afraid." Again, keep in mind, these angels were out late at night. The only lights were the stars and a fire that they probably had burning to keep themselves warm. Have you ever been to the Three Springs program? I always love it when they do that, and it's kind of a neat play that they put on, and they usually have a light, bright light shining up in a tree or somewhere. The angels perched and appear into the angels, and imagine just everything. The heavens are filled with his glory, the lights shining, and not a normal light, but the glory of God. You would have been afraid too. And someone said the angels were filled with great fear. Other scholars said they probably weren't as afraid as they were startled. I mean, shepherds were, you know, defending against animals, lions, and things like that. I'm sure they were startled by what they saw. It could have been great fear, but I have an idea that would probably be more like, you ever been sound asleep and your phone rings at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're startled, and your immediate thought is, you know, someone's sick, someone had an accident. And your heart's beating when you answer the phone, and then it's a so I didn't mean to call you this late, but I believe that would be more the reaction. I'm sure that when the darkness is lit up, it would be a frightening experience. But again, these are shepherds who are used to something out of the ordinary. But the angels would bring more joy than they would fear, and that is how believers were to be expected to trust in God, to accept the unknown, to accept with joy what eternity is holding for us. I can't tell you what heaven's going to be like. We can sing. I can only imagine. I can't tell you what it's going to be like. I do believe what the Bible says, it's going to be a place of perfection, no heartache, no tears, none of that. But I can't describe what my shack's going to look like compared to your mansion. But I believe it. I believe God is preparing this place. And that's just one example of things that God says, just trust me on this. And that's exactly what they were saying to the shepherds. The rest of the verses tell us that the shepherds' response was, they heard the news, and I believe they believed it, but they needed to investigate for themselves before they fully stepped out into it. So it says they went on to investigate, and they went to the manger and found it, just like the angel said. And then their response was not only to believe, but to go out and tell it. They went out and told everybody what they found and what they saw and what they heard. And the result of them listening was they were one of the first ones to see the baby, and they were one of the first ones to worship this newborn king because they were willing to obey. You see, the angel's message, not just this angel, but the angels, plural, the one Gabriel that appeared to Mary, the angels, angel that appeared to Joseph, and these angels that came here, the angels' messages were about grace. They were about encouragement. They were about hope, about salvation. They were about peace. And that is exactly what God calls us to do today. We are to be representations of his salvation, of his grace, of hope in Christ, of peace that can be found in Christ, of love and salvation. We are now the instruments of God's encouragement. Do you know anybody who needs encouragement? Perhaps other than yourself, but do you know anyone else who needs encouragement this holiday season? Do you know anyone who needs to know about the Christ who was born to die for them? And we're probably going to sing again on Christmas Eve from the squall of a borrowed stable, because we're doing the A's of Christmas. My Christmas Eve plan is to talk about the cross and the manger, or the manger and the cross, and talk about the wood that was made for both. But We are to be God's representatives of the birth of the King that led to the death of our Savior and the resurrection of the Savior. There are people all around us who need encouragement, who need hope that a relationship with Christ offers, and you and I are going to be doing that. We see the Savior, we know the Savior, and we have hope in times when things appear hopeless. But that's the God that offers us peace. So I want to ask you, and I have it in your notes, will you commit to being God's representation of hope, of salvation, of peace, of love, of joy, of all that someone or that Christmas represents? Someone had on Facebook this morning, as I just got on real quick, and I think it was Defenders of the Gospel was one of the Christian sites that I follow, and it said, "I love the Christmas songs, but it's not Christmas Day that gives me joy; it's the hope of the season." I thought that's exactly what I'm talking about this morning. I you all know I love Christmas, but it's not Christmas Day. It's none of the gifts, but it's just the joy of the season. It's the songs. It's that idea of Christ being born to die, or being born just to die for me. That's the hope of the gospel. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your awesome love for us. I thank you that you chose to speak to humans through these angels that we really can't comprehend. We can't understand how they all appeared or what they were doing. But Father, we trust that you are who you say you are. And we trust that your Son is our Savior. We believe in what he did on the cross for us. And Lord, as we wrap up this morning with this closing song, that we would understand your great, awesome love for us and what Christ endured to come and be born from men who are so sinless or so sinful that you want to make us sinless in your sight. In your sight, and we thank you for your Son. Bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. I'm not sure what the hymn number is. It's 199. Let's stand together. We're going to take about a 10 or 12 minutes break. There is some coffee up there, but we won't eat anything at this point. We'll come back in. We're going to do part two of Ruth. I told Cheryl when I got home, I saw that play, but it was really hard for me to follow last week. And everybody else had a hard time following because they kind of jumped around, I thought, on stage a little bit. But we'll watch part two, and then We'll finish it up next week, and then Russ is going to start teaching Sunday school again on the 19th. Then we won't have Sunday school. We'll just meet for church Sunday morning, the 26th, and then let you go. So we won't have Sunday school or time of fellowship or anything together that day, okay? So take about a 10 or 12 minute break. I'll flash the lights and need you to get right back over, Sue.
Mm-hmm. I talked to Carly, and she, now this year just covers the songs that she buys for Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Right? I'm sure that's what it is.
No, I, copyright coverage.
Or no, just this, or is it songs?
Song select access, I think, is lets us bring up any of the words. That's what we, when we do the word, yeah. Yeah.
This one here is, what, what's that one for?
I'm not sure. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. I don't wish I knew, but
maybe that's what that is for her things that she gets.
That might be, that could be. Yeah, and then
and this is for the songs.
Yeah, yes. So that's what song access is. Song select is what I is what we do.
I think that's right. I remember right.
Okay. To get some. Turn it off.